Hour of Power, Terry and Jesse Show. Two Catholics with a PhD in common sense. I'm reporting for duty. Terry, what about you, my friend?
I'm reporting for duty. I got a little laryngitis, but Jesse, all for Jesus through Mary, and glad to be back.
Amen.
And we're two evangelical Catholics with PhDs in common sense, and common sense ain't that common. What a show we have for today. What topic? Well, here it is. Everything you need to know about Catholic teaching on the Antichrist. Sign me up. I want to all know about that. And then the other one, Jesse, is really interesting because we're seeing a turn right now, and that is the transgender narrative is continuing to crumble in real time. We're going to get into that and much, much more. Jesse, good to know, File. Are you ready? I'm going to have to say, is this microphone really on? A Canadian doctor admits COVID booster shot paralyzed this 37-year-old woman. And now he says, I'll make up for it. I'll offer to euthanize you, and that'll make up for it. A doctor actually told the patient that. Now, Jess, what world am I living in where a doctor acknowledges that you made her paralyzed, and then you're somehow going to solve the problem by killing her? I'm sorry, the only good to know file also, Jesse, and then I'll turn it back to you. And that is, on this document that came out on the 8th of April from the Holy See regarding the infinite dignity of the human person, as I said, Jesse, we talked about this, had a lot of good things in there, condemning abortion, euthanasia. But here's the problem. A good priest told me, and it made sense to me. He said, nobody but God is infinitely good, has infinite value. The only person that has infinite value is God. Okay? So what happens is when you start making that statement that somebody has infinite value, then why should they be baptized? Why should they repent? You see, there's no need for the gospel. So this is a modernistic approach to teaching people the meaning and purpose of life by saying, we're all God's children. So don't worry about a thing. God will take you home. But they're forgetting the other element called free will. So I just wanted to bring that up, Jess, and I'll turn it back over to you, brother.
Yeah, well, Terry, Romans chapter 7 says that we have a fallen nature.
Yeah.
Our faculties are disordered, subject to concupiscence. So obviously, we don't have this infinite dignity in and of ourselves, apart from sanctifying grace.
Amen.
Apart from the grace of baptism,
amen,
we don't have infinite dignity. We are, as St. Paul says, children of wrath, children of darkness, under the first Adam, which is the covenant of death. And so it's only because we're baptized into the second Adam that now we have eternal life. But apart from Christ, we have nothing.
That's traditional Catholic faith right there, Jesse. You nailed it. All right, brother. A couple of things
I want to mention is that comedian Bill Maher admits, he says abortion is murder.
So what he says?
He says, but he goes, I'm okay with it as long as we save the planet because there's too many people. But at least he's admitting what he never admitted before. Abortion is murder. It's not health care. It's not medical care. It's murder. He says it. But he says, but he's okay with it because we have to save the planet. Also,
terrible.
I want to mention police arrest a 15-year-old suspect who stabbed. He attacked an Assyrian Orthodox Catholic bishop in Sydney, Australia. He was preaching at a local Assyrian Orthodox church. I think it was during their divine liturgy. Mm-hmm. His name's Bishop Mari Emmanuel. He was preaching at Christ the Good Shepherd Church when a suspect approached and attacked him. And the church was live streaming the service when he was attacked. So the shocking footage is on video. And of course,
Jesse,
he was yelling,
go ahead.
Allahu Akbar.
Yes, that's what we wanted.
Allahu Akbar.
Yeah.
So I don't know, Terry. I don't think it was Mormons that attacked him.
No,
I don't think it was homeschooling Protestants that attacked the bishop.
No,
it sounds to me like it was the religion of peace, Islam, Muslim terrorists that attacked this Assyrian bishop.
That's obvious. Anything else, Jess?
The last thing I want to just mention is that that the month of April is dedicated to the Most Holy Eucharist, which is the sacrament of all sacraments. It's the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. The Eucharist is central to the Catholic faith. It is essential. Mm-hmm. Or as the church fathers call it, it's a sine qua non, the indispensable element of Roman Catholicism. The Holy Eucharist is Emmanuel, God with us here on planet Earth. The Holy Eucharist is proof positive that Jesus Christ keeps his promises, because Jesus says he will remain with us until the end of time in Matthew 28:19. And as Dr. Skonhal likes to say, he reigns now today as our Eucharistic King from every golden tabernacle around the world.
Last thing before we get to the gospel, any of you World War II freaks like I am, I love the history of World War II. There was a heroic story, never got published, but it's going to do a movie today and tomorrow. It's a film called Irina's Vow. It tells the story of a Catholic woman who saved many Jewish lives by hiding them from the Nazis. And I think it's worth listening or watching the movie. So keep that in mind. Jess, let's get some soul food after so much depressing news.
Yep. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Amen. Today's gospel, John chapter 6, verse 30 to 35. Mm-hmm. The crowd said to Jesus, "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." So Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said to Jesus, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
A couple things that jump out at me. Verse 31, where the verse says he gave them bread. That's a reference to Exodus chapter 16, verse 4, when God rained bread from heaven upon the Israelites in the desert. And what our Lord is doing, our Lord is challenging. He's being challenged by the people of his day to match the miracles of manna by Moses. But our Lord responds by stressing that although the manna had a heavenly origin in the Old Testament, it did not bring the Israelites to their heavenly destiny. Manna is rather a food that perishes, since it melted away every morning, according to the Bible in Exodus chapter 16, verse 21. And the manna that it rained upon the Jews, it actually turned foul overnight when it was stored, according to Exodus chapter 16. But in verse 32, Jesus Christ tells us about the true bread from heaven. In other words, the wilderness manna in the Old Testament, it was not false bread. It was merely a sign of the imperishable Eucharistic bread that the Father sends down from heaven in Jesus Christ in the Last Supper and through every single sacrifice of the Mass. And so then we move on to verse 35, and this is where it talks about the bread of life discourse. Now, the Protestants just read the first half of John chapter 6 up until like verse 47, and they'll say, "Well, see, the bread of life discourse, Catholics, all that means is that Jesus Christ is inviting us to have faith." But if you read from 48 all the way to the very end, then Jesus is very clear.
That's right.
Jesus is inviting us that we have to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And this, again, this scandalized the Jews so much at that point, it says that many of them walked away. And so the Eucharistic discourse is not just a call to faith. That's the first half from John chapter 6, verses 1 to 47. From 48 to the end, the call to faith is you actually have to eat the New Testament manna from the desert, which is the Holy Eucharist.
Well said. Let's bring the smartest guy in the room real quick. Full steam ahead. He says, "The law he gave was clear. Life is a struggle. Unless there is a cross in our lives, there will never be an empty tomb. Unless there is a crown of thorns, there will never be a halo of light." Unless there is a Good Friday, there will never be an Easter Sunday. You know, Jesse, our divine Savior never said to the apostles, be good and you will not suffer. But he did say, in this world, you shall have tribulations. He told them not to fear those who could kill the body, but rather to fear those who can kill the soul. He told the apostles that his life was a model for all of his followers. It was the cross of Christ that raised the questions of life. It was the resurrection that answered them. Thank you, Bishop Sheen, for keeping us on the straight and narrow, even among times of confusion. You nailed it. Thanks. Jess?
Yeah, Terry. Also want to mention about that new document. It's called Dignitas Infinita, on Human Dignity.
Yeah.
Terry, something very important that the priest pointed out to you.
Yeah.
The only person that's infinite is God.
Of course.
Human beings are finite.
Exactly.
That means we have a finite capacity to understand, to think, and we even have a finite dignity, Terry. And what I mean by that, if our dignity was infinite, we would not need baptism.
Well said.
Not need sanctifying grace.
No, but
because our dignity is finite, we need the supernatural help from God.
Amen. Well said. When we come back, everything you need to know about the Catholic teachings on the Antichrist. Stay with us, family. Hit it, Jesse. We got everything you need to know about Catholic teachings on the Antichrist. If my voice goes, I'm going to have you cover for me. Continue.
Yes. So.
Yes.
The article says, in his book, The Kingship of Christ and the Conversion of the Jewish Nation, Father Dennis Fahey.
Yep. Famous.
Gives an overview of what is certain.
Yes.
Probable and undecided about the Antichrist. It is certain that the Antichrist will be a single man, a single human person. St. John, the apostle, writes that anyone who denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is an Antichrist.
That's right.
In this sense, there have been many Antichrists, some greater than others. The ones that have been greater have been types of foreshadowing of what the Antichrist will be like. Some have suggested that the Antichrist will be a sect or a collection of impious men, an atheistic environment, or a period of persecution. This is not so. Although these others may again serve as types, foreshadowings, or signs that his coming is imminent, he will certainly be an individual man. The 15th century Spanish theologian Francisco Suarez, who, by the way, wrote the first verse-by-verse commentary of the Bible.
Yep.
That's what he's known for.
Yep.
He teaches that the Antichrist will be a mere man in the sense that he will not be Satan in human form. Nonetheless, he will be endowed with great powers and personal qualities of seduction. St. Paul writes of this, his coming is according to In 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 and 10, St. Paul says, his, the Antichrist, coming is according to the working of Satan. In all powers and signs and lying wonders and in all seduction of iniquity to them that perish, close quote. It is generally agreed, based on the biblical text, that the beginnings of his career, the Antichrist, will be lowly and obscure. However, as a result of his powers of seduction, his power, conquests, and influence will grow until it results in a worldwide rule. The Apocalypse says in chapter 13, verse 7, about the Antichrist, it says, quote, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over every tribe and people and tongue and nation. Close quote. As the above verse suggests, the Antichrist will persecute the church and thereby wage war on God. The prophet Daniel in chapter 7, verse 25, also writes about the Antichrist. He says the following quote, he shall speak words against the High One and shall crush the saints of the Most High. And he shall think himself able to change times and laws. Close quote. This will be a trial for the good and a chastisement for the impious and apostates. The sin of the latter is punished by their being allowed to believe his lies and become hardened in sin. Whoa, it sounds like modern day America to me, Terry.
You got it, partner.
Yeah. St. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10 and 11 about the Antichrist, he says this, his coming, the Antichrist, is to them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Therefore, God will send them the operation of error to believe lying, that all may be judged who have not believed the truth, but have consented to iniquity. Close quote. Sounds to me like the transgender movement, LGBTQ movement, Marxist movement.
Everything.
Black Lives Matter, Antifa,
yep.
Modern day Democrat Party movement, Terry.
Yep. Yeah. It's all rejection. Go ahead.
The nature of his persecution.
Yeah.
In his book on the Antichrist, the Jewish convert, Father Lehman, states that two key measures of this persecution will be, number one, the outlawing of Christian teaching. Well, we're moving in that direction now, Terry.
Big time.
Number two, the obligation to teach error.
Check. Yeah.
Both, yeah. Cancel culture, censorship.
Right.
Big tech controlling the narrative.
Same-sex marriage. Do we have to say no?
Yeah, if you want to have some jobs, some employers, you have to use pronouns.
That's right.
Yeah. So there's an obligation to teach error. That's part of the measure of the Antichrist. It says, this will be enforced with great thoroughness and cruelty. In addition, he will claim to be God and demand to be worshipped in the temple of God, which will be addressed in due course. He will succeed in convincing many of his claims through the power and signs and lying wonders mentioned above. The time of his persecution. However, his reign will be temporary. Even if it will no doubt feel like eternity for those suffering under it, it will probably last 3.5 years, as is taught by both Daniel and the Apocalypse. Daniel chapter 7:25, a time and times and half a time. Apocalypse chapter 13, verse 5, and power was given him, the Antichrist, to do 2 and 42 months, close quote. At the end of the time allotted to him, the Antichrist will be destroyed. It says in Daniel 7:26, a judgment shall sit that his power may be taken away and be broken in pieces and perish even to the end. 2 Thessalonians 2:8 also tells us that the Antichrist will be destroyed. It says, the Lord Jesus shall kill with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. 2 Thessalonians 2:8.
Jesse, just continue, but what about the Catechism of the Catholic Church talking about the end time? What is that? Paragraph 7, what is it, 787?
It's paragraph 675.
Well, let's read that, 675.
Yeah, yeah. You have it there in front of you?
I do in a minute. Here, give me a second.
Okay.
675, yeah, I do. All right, 675 is going to say this. Before Christ's second coming, the church must pass through a final trial that will shake the faith of many believers. The persecution that accompanies her pilgrimage on earth will unveil the mystery of iniquity in the form of religious deception, offering men an apparent solution to their problems at the price of apostasy from the truth. The supreme religious deception is that of the Antichrist, a pseudo-messianicism by which man glorifies himself in the place of God and his Messiah come in the flesh. Freemasonry, okay? I mean, that. And then the other thing, Jesse, what this catechism said about the deception of man, hey, when, just like I said about that, Canadian doctor, admitted that COVID booster shots paralyzed the woman. Well, we'll offer to kill you, to euthanize you. This is what's happening in the world today. And I think paragraph 675 needs to be read periodically.
Yeah, Terry, this religious deception is the Antichrist.
Yep.
And this offering men an apparent solution to the problems.
Yeah.
Some of the deceptions have been COVID-19.
Of course.
The Green New Deal.
Yep.
Global warming. The globalist one world government. Big pharma. Big tech.
Yep.
Communism. Freemasonry.
Yep.
The Illuminati. Yeah, there's a lot of people that fit the bill for this paragraph.
Yep. Continue, Jess.
So, it says here in Apocalypse chapter 19, verse 20, talks about the Antichrist. It says, and the beast, the Antichrist, was taken, and with him the false prophet, who wrought signs before him, wherewith he seduced them who received the character of the beast and who adored his image. These two were cast alive into the pool of fire burning with brimstone.
Wow.
Close.
Pretty graphic.
So now that we have addressed what is certain about the Antichrist, now we're stepping into the realms of probabilities and opinions. This next part. Relationship with the Jews. Many fathers and theologians believe that the Antichrist will deceive the Jewish people, who they say will acclaim him as their long-awaited Messiah and assist him in establishing his reign. This is often based on the words of Christ himself in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 42, where our Lord says, I am come in the name of my Father, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. Close quote. Saint Jerome also explains in this passage, he says, the Jews, after having despised the truth in the person of Jesus Christ, will welcome falsehood by acclaiming Antichrist.
Wow.
Father Lehman states that the same view is held by many others, and he gives examples from St. Ambrose, St. Gregory the Great, St. Ephraim, and St. John Chrysostom. What's he talking about? Again, that the Jews, that the Antichrist will deceive the Jewish people. There have been many false messiahs acclaimed by some representatives of the Jewish people, including Bar Kochba and even Napoleon. The great theologian Francisco Suarez, he says the following, quote, since the time of Christ, several on their own authority have pretended to be the Messiah and have been welcomed by the Jews, as is evident from Josephus. And we read in Acts chapter 8 that Simon the magician pretended to be the Messiah and that many Jews believed in him. The words of Christ can be applied not to one alone, but to all those false messiahs, close quote.
Yeah.
However, Suarez also states the following. He says, the former explanation of St. Jerome, however, as I have said, is better, for there is one whom the Jews expect, one whom they will all welcome. The others who pretend to be the Messiah were not received by all the Jews, but only by a certain few, close quote. For what it is worth, some mystics have held to this opinion as well. For example, Bartholomew Hohauser in 1658, he stated the following. He was a mystic. He says, quote, the Jews, knowing from the Bible that Jerusalem will be the seat of the Messiah, will come from anywhere and accept Antichrist as the Messiah. Mm. And this is why, Terry, it's so dangerous, you know. Everybody's talking about, oh, we're waiting for the red heifer, and we want to rebuild the temple of Jerusalem,
right,
so that we can usher in the second coming of Christ and his thousand-year reign in Jerusalem as an earthly king. All of this, Terry, precipitates the coming of the Antichrist, and the Jews and the dispensational Protestants have bought into this hook, line, and sinker. Yeah. Your comments?
And, well, my thoughts is this, is that all of this really comes back down to living in the state of grace that we say every day on this show, because for most of us, the second coming of Christ will be at our death. That's the point most people are going to get. We come back, we'll continue to talk about everything you need to know about Catholic teachings on the Antichrist here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio on the Terry and Jesse Show. Stay with us, family. We'll be right back. I just want to make an announcement, Jesse, that you, Anita, myself, Bishop Strickland, Matthew Arnold, we're going to be on a bus ride going to the missions here in Southern California. We're going to be calling it Reconquering the Southwest. And everybody says, oh, I'd love to be with Bishop Strickland. I get that all the time. But we're going to have daily mass, conferences. And if, you know, this is just being announced, we're going to be putting a brochure together. But mark the dates, because I'd love to have, we only have like 110 people that can come, so it'll be an intimate group. But you can call us next week or go on our website to find out more. Just mark down the dates, though, September 30th to October 4th. And I guarantee it will be like a big family on a bus or two, driving around to the missions and learning about how Southern California and the Southwest was conquered by missionaries like St. Nipro Serra and Father Kino. So I just want to mark those dates down, September 30th to October 4th, and we'll meet here in Southern California. Jesse, let's continue on this interesting article.
Absolutely. Similarly, Venerable Mary of Agreda, the way, her body's been incorrupt for 350 years.
Yeah.
And she bilocated over 500 times from Spain to Texas to Arizona to New Mexico and evangelized the indigenous Indians.
What a great story that is.
Oh. Yeah. She writes the following, quote, "The delegates of certain nations, the Jews, Turks, and Tartars, will beg him to personally free them from their unbearable yoke. He," she's speaking about the Antichrist, "will now declare himself ready to fulfill their wishes, while at the same time he will rouse the neighboring nations to revolution. The Jews will bring him a costly crown and a kingly garment, as well as a scepter, and declare him as their freely elected king. Many Jews then will stream to Babylon. Then the Antichrist will seek to enlarge his kingdom. Thereupon he," the Antichrist, "will march into the promised land and occupy Jerusalem. Now, at last the kings of the world will become frightened. They will recognize that they're dealing with the Antichrist, especially since the Jews of the whole world will make known the great talents and deeds of the Antichrist, so that his praise shall resound throughout the world," close quote. As we shall see, a very significant factor for thinking this is that there are important similarities between what Catholics expect from the Antichrist and what some representatives of Jewish religion openly state is to be expected from its supposed Messiah. It's a popular idea that the Antichrist will himself be Jewish and a member of the tribe of Dan. Saint Irenaeus held to this opinion, as did Saint Robert Bellarmine. However, Father Lehman holds that the arguments mounted in favor of this idea are inconclusive. Against the idea that the Jews would not accept the non-Jew as their Messiah, Father Lehman replies, quote, "Down the centuries, the Jews have welcomed all the enemies of Jesus Christ and his church and have constituted themselves as their auxiliaries. In the Great Sanhedrin held at Paris in 1807, they applied the biblical titles exclusively reserved to the Messiah to Napoleon. Though Napoleon was not of Jewish blood, they even welcomed the principles of the French Revolution as their messiahs."
Yeah.
Father Lehman summarizes, he says, "It is neither certain nor probable. It is merely possible, nothing more." What about the seat of the Antichrist Empire? There are two main opinions about from where the Antichrist will reign over his global kingdom. It will either be in Jerusalem or Rome. Right into the around the year 180, Saint Irenaeus taught, "At the time of his reign, Antichrist will transfer the seat of his empire to the earthly Jerusalem," close quote. He was followed by several of the fathers and others, including Saint Hippolytus, Saint Robert Bellarmine, Cornelius Lepid, and more. Suarez writes, endorsing the opinion above on his nationality, Father Suarez writes, quote, "From what we have said about Antichrist being a Jew by race and finding his chief support among the Jews, it follows immediately that he will restore the city of their ancestors and its temple, in which they have always taken a special pride. Well, Father Lehman dismisses the idea that being acclaimed as the Messiah depends on his having Jewish blood. He does argue as follows. Father Lehman says, quote, if Antichrist were to act otherwise, how could he get himself accepted as the Messiah by the Jews who dream of earthly glory for Jerusalem and imagine that the city will become the capital of the future messianic kingdom? The last argument seems to become stronger in our times thanks to the rise and growth of Zionism, and I would say thanks to the Protestant dispensationalists who fund it by and large. Mm-hmm. The article says, the other opinion is that the Antichrist will reign from the city of Rome. St. Robert Bellarmine argues strongly against this idea. A reconciliation of the two opinions is taught by the theologian Father Sylvester Berry in his work on the Apocalypse of St. John. He teaches that the Antichrist will indeed reign from Jerusalem and that Antichrist's false prophet will reign from Rome during a long vacancy of the Holy See.
Interesting.
He writes, our divine Savior has a representative on earth in the person of the Pope, upon whom he has conferred full powers to teach and govern. Likewise, Antichrist will have his representative in the false prophet, who will be endowed with the plenitude of satanic powers to deceive the nation.
That makes sense. Yeah.
The prophet will probably set himself up in Rome as a sort of anti-pope during the vacancy of the papal throne mentioned above. But in what will the Antichrist reign consist? We've already seen that it will involve the persecution of the church, the suppression of the Catholic Mass, and the exercise of the Catholic religion. This will be at the expense of an alternative and global one world religious system. And by the way, Terry, we already see that one world religious system. It's starting to take shape in the Abu Ghrabi.
You got it.
In this piece of property, they're building three religions, a mosque, a Jewish synagogue, and a Catholic church. And they're all calling it the Abrahamic religions.
Yeah.
And we all, you know, we all have to work together because we're all the Abrahamic religions. So we already see that at work right now. I just want to point that out.
Yeah. And just a quick note too about what we're seeing. We use the word syncretism, meaning one religion is as good as another. We have high officials in the Catholic Church that don't understand or maybe don't believe that the Catholic Church is unique in that full salvation comes only through the Catholic Church. And I share this with our listeners because they need to know that. If anybody tries to tell you someone is saved because they're a Jew or a Muslim, that's not Catholic teaching, even if they are wearing a mitre. Continue, Jess.
Yeah, the article finishes up. It says, but in what will the Antichrist reign consist? We've already seen that it will involve the persecution of the church. Check that box.
Yeah.
The suppression of the mass.
Yep.
And the exercise of the Catholic religion. Well, that actually happened for 2 years under COVID.
Yep.
That was like a dress rehearsal for the Antichrist, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The article says, this will be at the expense of an alternative and global one world religious system. Well, guess what, Terry? That's the new ecumenism today.
Yeah.
That's the push.
Yep.
The new ecumenism, Terry, we no longer say that we're the one true religion and that outside the Catholic Church, there's no salvation. Now we're teaching that we're all brothers, the brotherhood of man.
Yeah.
That's the language that's being floated today in the Vatican.
Yeah.
The article ends by saying, in the next parts, we'll see that the Catholic theologians and mystics have taught that it will probably be based around the Temple of Jerusalem and a naturalistic religion and code of morality. We also see that what Catholic theologians expect of the Antichrist coincides uncomfortably closely with what some influential Jewish writers expect of their Messiah and with the light and religion which they think that his coming will bring to the Gentiles.
And Jesse, I want to bring this article to fruition in the sense that on the 8th of April, the Holy See came out with a document regarding the value of individuals. And they're using language, you know, of that is just not Catholic teaching when it talks about infinite value of the individual person, because, as we said earlier in the show, God has infinite value. We don't. And, you know, if we continue to have this kind of mindset, then what's the whole point of being baptized in the faith? In other words, a Jew, you know, anybody can be saved. Yeah, see how it all fits? It's all coming together. And I think by exposing this for what it is, it's not Catholic. So I think that, you know, we're not management, we're in sales. But when we see something that's not teaching Catholic teachings, then we have to reject it. Because ask yourself this question, is it part of the deposit of faith that's being preached? If the answer is no, reject it. If the answer is yes, accept it.
Terry, St. Alphonsus Liguori, Doctor of the Church, he says that one of the ways that we know that the Antichrist is here is he will stop the sacrifice of the Mass.
Yep.
Here's what he writes, St. Alphonsus Liguori. He says, quote, "The devil has always attempted by means of the heretics to deprive the world of the Mass, making them precursors of the Antichrist, who before anything else, the Antichrist will try to abolish and will actually abolish the holy sacrament of the altar as a punishment for the sins of men, according to the prediction of Daniel the prophet, and strength was given him against the continual sacrificer." So that's a good sign. When the Mass completely stops around the world,
oh yeah,
we know that the Antichrist is here.
Well, remember, there's people in Rome who are talking about revising the Mass so that our Protestant brothers and anyone else can say the Mass. You don't need the priesthood. Remember, unfortunately, Pope Francis said it about, you know, the priest. He's no different than anybody else. He's just baptized. Well, that's not what the Catholic Church teaches. There is a ontological difference between a priest and a lay person. That's what the Catholic Church teaches. When we come back, believe it or not, we're going to shift gears, and we'll shift gears into a topic about transgenderism. Narrative has continued to crumble in real time. Stay with us, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Hit it, Jess.
The transgender narrative is continuing to crumble in real time.
Thanks be to God.
Yep. Well, you can't perpetuate a lie forever.
That's right. It catches up to you.
Because, again, the truth of God's word exposes it.
Yep.
It's been a brutal week for the transgender narrative. There's a sudden interest in taking a closer look at the claims of transgender activists. This is an indication that the herd is moving. First, we had the CAST review, which took a sledgehammer to trans activist claims about gender medicine, and it's already triggered further investigation. The UK's health service has announced that they will be conducting CAST-style inquiries into 7 adult transgender clinics as well. The closure of the Tavistock clinic could be just the beginning. Then Dr. Phil aired an entire show opposing transition for minors. He does not come from a socially conservative perspective, but trans activists were livid by his attacks. In the wake of the New York Times publishing a series of columns questioning the transgender narrative, the most recent of them was published earlier this month. The sudden interest of mainstream media figures in taking a closer look at trans activist claims is an indication that the herd is moving. Yeah, it's moving towards the right direction, by the way.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. Then a preprint study from Mayo Clinic, which the author says, which I will stipulate, has not been peer-reviewed, affirmed that puberty blockers cause long-term fertility problems in boys.
You don't mess with Mother Nature. Go ahead, Jess.
This is something that critics of gender medicine have been saying for years.
Exactly.
That transition includes the sterilization of minors. The researchers analyzed more than 130,000 sperm cells from male children with gender dysphoria, ages 17 and younger. Well, according to Fox News, the researchers analyzed the testicular cell of boys who had been taking puberty blockers from anywhere from 3 months to 52 months and compared them to cells of a control group who had not been on the blockers. Among those on puberty blockers, the researchers identified mild to severe sex gland atrophy, determining that the medications accelerated the aging and function of testicular cells. Most significantly, the findings of the study suggest that the impact of puberty blockers is likely permanent. Once again, something critics of transition have been saying for years, while trans activists attempt to shout them down. Fox News noted that the researchers also detected cases of microlithiasis, which is marked by the presence of small clusters of calcium in the testicles. So what does this mean? This additional research from Mayo Clinic has linked testicular microlithiasis to an increased risk of testicular cancer.
Yep.
The researchers noted in the conclusion of the study that the risks are now clear. We provide unprecedented histological evidence revealing detrimental pediatric testicular sex gland responses to puberty blockers. In other words, they're saying it's dangerous.
Of course, you're messing with Mother Nature.
This is yet more evidence that we are, in fact, sterilizing trans-identifying boys. It's not reversible. They will never have their own biological children. Most people remain silent out of cowardice as this evidence emerged. Only a few dissidents dare to stick their heads above the parapets on this issue. A motley crew of social conservatives, Christians, feminists, and a couple of celebrities like J.K. Rowling, who are willing to stake their reputations on this fight for gender-confused kids, those people, the ones who knew better but decided to stay silent to protect themselves, will deserve no credit and should be called off for their cowardice.
Amen.
As Julie Bindle noted at Unheard, the conversions are beginning already. She, it turns out, has been taking note of those who refuse to defend the dissident, and as it turns out, correct voices on this issue as a monumental medical scandal unfolded. I love that. Monumental medical scandal unfolded. I could also name politicians who never bought into transgender ideology, but refused to take on trans activists for fear that it might hurt their political careers.
Yeah.
As the evidence piles up and the voices of detransitioners grow louder, I hope that they are listening. I hope they are honest with themselves. Their silence helped this happen. When trans-identified children were being sterilized, these politicians said nothing. And some of us will remember that.
Yeah. Terry? And Jesse, my thought on that article is when good people do nothing, evil abounds. And this is why, you know, we have to speak out and not be silent right now. And I think that's what's happening. More people are, even on same-sex marriages, so-called, the percentage of people approving them have gone down. People are getting tired of this woke culture, and I'm glad they are, because we need to bring it back around. And yeah, I think that this article basically says, follow the money. They don't say that, but think about the people who made money on all these sex transitions. There's a big business. And so, you know, that's the old story. Follow the money. And I think that you'll find that people have made some big bucks. And it's really sad because it's at the cost of our children.
Yeah, Terry. And you know, it's funny when I look at, for example, Bruce Jenner, and I look at him today and he's trying to act like a woman. I can't wrap my mind around that. When I look at Dr. Rachel Levine, who's a man, yeah, who works for Joe Biden, who now is trying to pose as a woman, I look at Bruce Jenner, Dr. Rachel Levine, two men who think they're women, and I say, are you kidding me? Is this microphone on?
Yeah.
Remember, Satan is the father of lies. And Satan is the one that wants to deceive us. And he wants you to think that Bruce Jenner is a woman. Satan wants you to believe that Rachel Levine is a woman. That reminds me of the prophet Isaiah. Chapter 5, verse 20, he says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil.
That's it.
Woe to those who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Woe to those who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Terry, all this confusion, Father Gabriel Amorth, rest in peace. He warned us.
Yep.
He said, a few years before he passed away, he said, quote, the devil wants to confuse children about their gender. Close quote.
He nailed
Father it. Gabriel Amorth.
Let me just tell you, Bruce Jenner was at the 1976 Olympics and won all kinds of gold medals. I was there, okay, as a 19-year-old kid. And I remember going, man, that guy was built like a truck. Look at how he's just such a great athlete. I don't know if people can remember 45 years ago, but I do, or 50 years ago. And then, like you said, when I saw him transitioning to a woman, I'm going, what? Is he trying to be funny? This can't happen. And so I just see right now the world's reality. The reality check is, you know, we're made in the image and likeness of God. Yes, we are. And that through baptism, we are children of God and heirs to the kingdom of heaven. How do we do that? By living the gospel message. Repent and believe in the gospel. That's what we would end, because this is the great message of Christianity that Jesus gave to us, and that is to live out the gospel.
Absolutely, Terry. And I'll tell you, I think a lot of this comes from the fact that moral relativism.
Oh, yeah.
Really, moral relativism became it became legalized by the U.S. Supreme Court. Most people don't realize this, that moral relativism, there was a Supreme Court decision that was given to us by Justice Anthony Kennedy.
Yeah.
And here's what he said, okay? This was Planned Parenthood versus Casey back in 1992. And this is what's affected the country. Here's what he said, Justice Anthony Kennedy, quote, he said, at the heart of liberty is the right to define one's own concept of existence, of meaning, of the universe, yeah, and of the mystery of human life. Close quote.
Oh, my gosh.
In other words, Justice Anthony Kennedy says, everybody decides for themselves what they are, who they are, and where they're going.
Unbelievable.
And this error, this lie, continues in our day. It was given to us in 1992 by the U.S. Supreme Court.
Unbelievable.
That every American decides their own truth, their own reality, Terry.
And let me just give some facts. Men who claim to be transgender, right, to be women now, check this out. They've won nearly 300 titles in female sports. Does that tell you something? It tells you that they're cheating, okay? They're men faking them. They're faking it like they're women so they can win all these gold medals. I mean, I don't buy it, Jess.
Yeah, that's right, Terry. And I'll tell you, this whole gender ideology, it basically means that everybody's human identity is determined by everybody's individual choice.
Yeah,
everybody determines their own individual human identity.
Yeah.
This is what is being taught today in America.
And Jesse, it's so bad that I can say I'm 5'5", but if I say I'm 6'5", I'm 6'5" by saying it? No. Let me give you one more story, though. The reality, a young man said these two fingers are not part of his body. He goes to a doctor and says, no, I don't believe these two fingers are part of my body. I said, okay, young man, we'll cut them off for you. That's the world right now, because they're saying you make reality. But Jesse, we know better than that. And we're going to ask you this question, because this is the ultimate question. What state should we be living in, brother?
Last time I checked, live in a state of sanctifying grace. Do not live in a state of mortal sin. Become holy or die trying. And remember, before you drop dead, leave it all out in the field for Jesus Christ.
And you know what? Our Lady of Fatima said it so souls are going to hell because no one is there to pray and make sacrifices. Little sacrifices, even like little colds that I have. Give it all to Jesus, and I got value in this cold. And you too, join me in offering every sacrifice in the cross of Jesus Christ to help redeem the world. I want to thank everybody who supports us here at VMPR, because that's our goal, helping you reach salvation. And that is only in Jesus Christ. May God richly bless you. And thanks again for joining us here on Virgin with Powerful Radio. Paul Sheen ahead.